You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. A very special guest tonight, Dr. Ted Brower. His website, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. He's got the best, bar none, nutritional supplements on the planet. They work. I take them. I swear by them. My wife takes them. We are 100% Health Masters household, studio, and office. Eric, the tech, takes them. And you got to see him now. He looks like Jack LaLanne in his prime. You know, people are saying, who the heck's Jack LaLanne? Yeah. It shows my age, right? Okay. Anyway, no, it's great. I just want to say the number that we had given out earlier, the first, at the opening of the program of these, filthy, despicable scammers. Go figure. Disconnected already, changed already. So they'll be calling from a different number. But that's the power, in part, I believe, of the Hagman and Hagman listening audience. Shortly thereafter, that number was given out over the air. Yeah, we're going to run. So unfortunately, we can't pull off what we're going to pull off, and that's to expose them on the air maybe next time. But actually, two different numbers sent to me, both numbers not working, at least not from our system. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, and if they, yeah, folks, Eric the Tech just said, look, if you get a call from a different number outside of Los Angeles than we gave, send us a number. We'll expose them on air. And this time we'll sneak up on them, though. Let's get back to our guest, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. The topic tonight is, of course, mind control and how it is affecting us today and how we're witnessing it today, even in the elections of today. Now, you know what? It was interesting to me that, as Dr. Brower was talking too, how many people remember the kidnap plot, the plot to kidnap Henry Kissinger back in, I don't remember what year it was, maybe 70, 71? It has its roots into, British intelligence, MI6, and, even Mossad to some lesser extent, and, Western intelligence. But it was, the priest Berenger back then, the anti-Vietnam War priest Berenger, and a few others, five in total, about the plot to kidnap Henry Heinz Kissinger, okay? But this is heavy-duty stuff, so please pay attention because it has everything to do with current events. Portions of this broadcasting brought to you by healthmasters.com. Ted, go ahead.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm probably one of the only people that's actually listening tonight that's actually sat down and sat there and talked to Henry Kissinger. So this guy, he's just awful. I mean, he's just awful, bless his heart. And I don't really understand the whole methodology about what he does, except it's all part of this. One real quick thing is we have a sale on at Health Masters that we haven't even promoted through the website at all. Just first be talking about tonight through your show. It's Doug 5, D-O-G 5, 5% off everything for the next week at healthmasters.com. Doug 5. And it doesn't matter. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. Everything you get is 5% off. And that one more quick thing, a real quick positive testimonial. Dave told me I could talk about this. Dave Hodges. He called me up about 3 weeks ago and was having some severe problems as far as having to get up in the middle of the night and with frequent urination, et cetera, et cetera. And he started talking to me about he'd lost a bunch of weight and he was thirsty all the time. And I told him, I said, you need to check your blood sugar. And he checked his blood sugar and he ended up having his blood sugar over 400, Doug, just like you. Must kind of run in the alternative radio family. And I told him, I said, don't worry about that. I said, we'll get you on your dietary program. So we put him on dietary protocol, and it's taken a couple of weeks. And he called me, or he texted me, I think today. I think his blood sugar is down around 160. His heart rate's come way, way down. His heart rate was way high. So he's almost back in the normal blood sugar range. And he did it using the Health Master's healthy blood sugar, support system is what it is. And if you look at it on the website, you'll see a Hagman blood sugar system. That's what it is. And what it does, it basically teaches you. We send you a detailed analysis. If I have time in the third hour, I'll cover that analysis on how to actually change your diet to not have all this insulin running through your system and all this glucose running through your system and how to deal with it. But it's not hard, but it's not easy in that you have to make dietary changes and you have to make lifestyle choices. And so like I told Dave, I said, this has to turn into a lifestyle program for you instead of a diet. Because if you go back to the same diet you were eating before you had high blood sugar, it'll just go high again. It's just what happens. I mean, when you're dealing it and taking care of it from a natural standpoint, you have to really monitor your lifestyle. And there's just certain things and certain junk food you just simply can't really eat as much of. Every once in a while, once you get your blood sugar under control, you can. But it's one of those deals you just can't go back to just not being careful about what you put into your body. And Doug, you'll attest to that too, because you've been on the protocol for what, a year and a half now. And it's just, you have to be careful. Just have to be careful. But okay, back to the Tavistock stuff. All right. Okay, so back to the Committee of 300 and their little goals for the world here. I think we keep everybody, remember the next one, to keep everybody everywhere from deciding their own destinies by one created crisis after another and then managing such crises. And man, have we seen that. This is with all of it. This is all of these false flags that we're seeing underneath Obama. This Obama presidency with these dozens of false flags that we've had, this has never happened before in the history of a presidency. It tells me that these guys are running scared. That's what it tells me, Doug. It tells me that they're pushing forward their agenda because they know that they've been exposed. Next thing they say they want to do, to introduce new cults and continue to boost those already functioning, which include different rock music gangsters. Okay? And this is what they love to push all of these groups. They actually started this, you might not even know this, that the Beatles were a Tavistock creation. I mean, it just goes on and on to continue to build up the cult of Christian fundamentalism, as this author is calling it, and, which basically, it's just, you got to be careful when you're a Christian, because it's like I read earlier when I wrote that email, and you guys all know I'm a committed Christian. I mean, I've been that way since 1979, but you have to understand that, you can't get the person into the White House that's probably going to espouse all of your Christian beliefs the way you look at things. And that's what they want you to believe, is that you have to split up the groups of Christians and not vote for the best candidate. Next is that spread for religious cults like the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, well, now we're seeing more on that. To export religious liberation around and ideas around the world to undermine Christianity. To cause a total collapse of the world economies and engender total political chaos. Out of chaos will come order. To take control of all foreign and domestic policies of the United States. They've already done that. To give the fullest support to the institutions such as the United Nations and the International Monetary Fund and the Rothschild Banks, the World Court, and as far as possible make local institutions less effective by gradually phasing them out or bringing them under the mantle of the United Nations. To penetrate and subvert all governments and destroy national sovereignty. They've already done that in the United States. To organize a worldwide terrorist apparatus. Oh, there we go. To take control of education. There we go. And they've done all of these things. These are the 21 things that they've decided they're going to do, according to John Coleman. If you want to read his book, you can on that. But this is just how it's happened and who these people are. Now, I want to read you two more things on this, and we got to move on to different topics. Here's an article. Here's a statement by Aldous Huxley. World bankers, by pulling a few simple levers that control the flow of money, can make or break entire countries. By controlling press releases of economic strategies that shape national trends, the power of the elite are able to not only tighten their stranglehold on a nation's economic structure, but can extend that control worldwide. Those possessing such power would logically want to remain in background and invisible to the average citizen. Tavistock programming includes these terms: deception, brainwashing, disassociation, conditioning, negative injunctions, forced choice, engineered consent. There will be, this is by Aldous Huxley again. Now, you guys are going to love this. This is from the 1984 stuff. There will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and slavery, and producing a dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so that the people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather they will enjoy it, because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. Aldous Huxley, Tavistock Group, California Medical School, 1961. And you know, this concentration camp that I'm talking of doesn't necessarily have to be a death camp. Like last time we were on the show with you guys, we were talking about how Gaza had become a concentration camp. I in no way meant that was a death camp. It is just they basically have concentrated a group of people in there. I mean, they don't have gas chambers and all stuff going on in there. I never meant to say that. I never did say that, but somebody asked me that question, and certainly that's not the case. Programs with proven historical context originating or rooted in Tavistock brain trust include the War on Terror. Now listen to me this. War on Terror, total term from the brain trust of Tavistock. War on Terror, George Bush. Total information awareness, full spectrum dominance, Joint Vision 2020, shock and awe, propaganda, narco-capitalism, social engineering. I mean, on and on and on these different terms are being used. Tavistock's time machine. Just outside London, Tavistock Institute and the Sloan Engineering Nerve Center have a global psych war apparatus that attacks our collective consciousness and unconsciously, relentlessly. Established after World War I by Duke Kent of Kent, by George of Kent, to study shell shock, the original Tavistock Clinic developed psychological warfare for British intelligence. More than a national international institution, Tavistock became a non-local community of practice of a dark, invisible college, the Castilla of cryptocracy. Tavistock's grandmother is a drug empire of the British East India Company and Theosophical Esoterics. Its grandfather is the open conspirators of utopian H.G. Wells, Cecil Rhodes, and Fabian Socialists. Tavistock is the paranoid child of the Leipzig and Frankfurt schools of critical thinking and behaviorism. The psychodynamics of Freud and Jung are its godparents, but Tavistock's birth mother, as we mentioned earlier, was Wellington House, also known as the Lie Factory. It goes on to say, crisis creation. Not reserving their techniques for the enemy, Tavistock spread their contagious theory and practices of mass mind control into all strategic institutions. Tavistock wrote the blueprint for global dominion, a triumph of image over substance, the hydraulic model of tensions that has given way to the field theory of full spectrum domination. I mean, they wrote the book on propaganda, procrastination, and profiling. This goes on to say they were funded by the British Royal Society and the Rothschilds again. Through a twist of fate, the shaping of Tavistock became synonymous with the shaping, control, culture of forcing unwelcome changes and seizing psychological control of the human race. The brainwashing institute has twisted our beliefs into their very opposites. By collapsing our psychic mind boundaries, now we are permanently shell-shocked, was what their intention was. The Tavistock agenda identifies and creates macro trends, such as the new left, military activism, and a counterpoint to neocon manipulation. A Rockefeller grant supplied by the Rothschilds gave birth to the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations in 1947, which by the year is the same year as the spaceship thing in Roswell, which seems like everything kind of started with that whole mess. He really got really wound up. Tavistock says national agendas is part of a global shadow government used to covert techniques to sell the war in Germany, the domino theory and the Cold War for financial gain. Deliberate creation of a crisis is the primary tool of social engineering and global psychodrama. Other networked think tanks are a dissemination organ. They created peer pressure through the strata of society designed to break people down into conscious conformity. In other words, they brainwash you. That's how they do it. Goebbels, propaganda minister of the German Third Reich, used methodology devised by Bernays, as well as those of Willy Mützenberg, whose extraordinary career is touched upon in the work about the past, present, and future. Without Tavistock, there would never have been a World War One. That is true. There'd never be a World War II. There never would have been a Bolshevik Revolution, a Korea, a Vietnam, a Serbia, Iraq wars, war on terror. None of it would have happened, according to John Coleman. And I believe that. Tavistock agenda is used to create and topple governments. Its objective is to eventually control entire populations between the use of drugs. Here we go. And let's talk about the drugs. We're putting kids now on candy, Ritalin. We talked about that earlier. Schedule 2 drugs. I mean, all of this stuff, sophisticated mind control techniques, this is all about the use of fluoride, including group dynamics. This range of disciplines include anthropology, economics, organizational behavior, political science, psychoanalysis, psychology, and sociology. Any technique which helps to break down the family unit and family inculcated principles of religion, honor, patriotism, and normal sexual behavior is used by the Tavistock scientists as weapons of crowd control. They are currently involved in a war of extermination on the small American farmer through the use of usury and bankruptcy by giant land trusts. And this goes on and on and on. We could just keep going with this because I don't want to spend the whole 3 hours on this, but I've got so many notes on this tonight. I've got one more thing I want to talk about. And this is just another article. This one was written by Weeks MD. And he basically goes into detail about all the things that we've already talked about it. And he says, the Tavistock Institute is headquartered in London. Its prophet, Sigmund Freud, settled in Marsfield Gardens when he moved to England. He was given a mansion by Princess Bonaparte. Tavistock's pioneer work in behavioral science along the Freudian lines of controlling human emotions established it as a world center of foundation ideology. And it now extends to the University of Sussex, to the U.S., the Stanford Research Institute, Heritage Foundation, Center for National for Strategic and International Studies at Georgetown, where the State Department personnel are trained, U.S. Air Force Intelligence, and the RAND and MITRE corporations. Tavistock Institute developed mass brainwashing techniques, which were first used experimentally on American prisoners in the war in Korea, and experiments in crowd and control methods have been widely used on the American public. A serendipitous but nevertheless outrageous assault on human freedom by modifying individual behavior through topical psychology. A German refugee, Kurt Lewin, became the director of Tavistock in 1932. He came to the U.S. in 1933 as a refugee, the first of many infiltrators, and set up the Harvard Psychology Clinic, which originated the propaganda campaign to turn the American public to get Germany involved in the United States in World War II. In 1938, Roosevelt executed a secret agreement with Churchill, which is still in effect, and it ceded U.S. sovereignty to England. Now, I didn't know about this one either, Doug. I'd have to check this one out. Because it agreed to let the Special Operations Executive control U.S. policies. To implement this agreement, Roosevelt sent General Donovan to London for indoctrination before setting up the OSS, now the CIA, under the aegis of SOE-SIS. The entire OSS program, as well as the CIA, has always worked on guidelines set out by the Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute originated the mass civilian bombing raids carried out by Roosevelt and Churchill purely as a cynical experiment in mass terror, keeping records of the results as they watched the guinea pigs reacting under laboratory-controlled situations, including Dresden, where 500,000 people died in one night. It was a test. It was a beta test to see how the population would act. They killed 500,000. The methods of Freudian psychotherapy induce permanent mental illness of those who undergo his treatment by destabilizing their character. The victim is then advised to establish new rituals of personal interaction, that is, to indulge in brief sexual encounters, which actually set the participants adrift with no stable personal relationships in their lives, destroying their ability to establish or to maintain a family. Tavistock Institute has developed such power in the U.S. that no one archives prominence in any field has been trained in behavioral science at Tavistock or any of its subsidiaries. And then it goes on to talk about Kissinger and who he was. And then it talks about another prominent Tavistock operation is the Wharton School of Finance at the University of Pennsylvania. And just on and on and on. They have their use of the S.G. Warburg of London developed LSD, and how James Paul Warburg, son of Paul Warburg, who wrote the Federal Reserve Act, who pushed the LSD into the counter-student revolution, which was financed by $25 million of the CIA. All the records of the CIA drug testing program with MK-Ultra were ordered destroyed by the head of MK-Ultra, because all efforts of the Tavistock Institute are directed towards producing cyclical collapse the effect of the CIA programs are tragically apparent. I mean, this goes on. Today, the Tavistock Institute operates a $6 billion a year network of foundations in the U.S., all funded by taxpayers' money. 10 major institutions are under its direct control with 400 subsidiaries and 3,000 other study groups and think tanks, which originate many types of programs to increase the control of the New World Order over the American people. The Stanford Research Institute, adjoining the Hoover Institution, is a $150 million a year operation with 3,300 employees, and it carries on program surveillance for Bessel, Kaiser, and 400 other corporations and extensive intelligence operations for the CIA. It is the largest institution on the West Coast promoting mind control and behavioral sciences. And it goes on to talk about how, and I want you guys to read this article. You can pull this up. I'm not going to read any more of it. It's just good. They're talking about the National Training Laboratories, the National Yep. Education Society. All of this stuff is tied together. This article is Tavistock, the Best Kept Secret in America by Yep. Dr. Byron T. Weeks. It's available online for free. Tavistock, the Best Kept Secret in America from Byron T. Weeks, W-E-E-K-S. But guys, I think I've covered enough of this stuff in an hour and a half to let everybody know that we have been basically put under this stuff with these think tank groups, and they are controlling the United States through RAND and through these different tanks, and how they basically manipulate and control the planet now, except for Russia and China. That's why they're trying to make Russia the boogeyman, and they're putting all of our NATO troops on the borders with Russia, and they're saying how aggressive Russia is, and it's simply not true. Russia's not doing anything. Now, here's another really good article.
And you know what, Ted? Just to say something real quick on that, on Russia. There was a link on Drudge Report to an article about the dangerous game Russia's playing, but they are not to uplift Putin or anything like that. But if you really understand both sides of what's taking place, Russia is responding to the activities of NATO, the activities of the Western coalition. So, folks, understand that we're being played on both sides. And one more thing, you had mentioned too about the Beatles and Tavistock. I just want to say that the entirety of the Laurel Canyon scene, this, of course, Paul McGuire talks a lot about this, and we've talked a lot about this too. From the Beatles to the Doors onward. I mean, folks, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, at the epicenter of that was Admiral George Stephen Morrison. Well, folks, Jim Morrison was his son, and that's of the Doors. In fact, Laurel Canyon, all of the musicians there, all of their, if you could trace their lineage back, they were all offspring of military officers or intelligence officers. But and how this relates to today? Donald Trump, by the way, the backlash that's going against Donald Trump is being orchestrated through a lot of this through the Tavistock Institute and its American affiliates. Just trust me on this, or do your research yourself. So thank you.
No, it is because the problem is he's not a member of the club. He's not a sodomite, okay? As Coach Dave would say, he's not a sodomite. You know, he doesn't like to have sex with little boys. I mean, it's just Donald Trump is a heterosexual who has had three really pretty wives with really good children. He's from Scottish, I believe, and German descent. And, I mean, he wants to restore the country. And he's had enough of this. I mean, I'm sure he's aware of most of the stuff that we're talking about tonight. And that's why they're scared to death of him. That's why they're pulling the stops out. And, by the way, Putin, according to this article by Baxter Dimitri in News World, says he has now banned the Rothschilds from Russia. Now, I thought that was interesting. He played the New World Order game long enough to climb as high as musician to president, then he abruptly turned his back on them, prompting Jacob Rothschild to accuse him of being a traitor to the New World Order, and now he has banned them from Russian territory, and apparently he's paid them back with the oil sales from the money that he owed them because they weren't massively in debt. And Putin recently reminded his cabinet that he paid off the Rothschilds' debt and grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and kicked them out of Russia's back door. Now, whether all this is true or not, I don't know. I hope it is. I mean, I haven't seen this in any other mainstream media, but they're not going to promote it anyhow. But now the New World Order is trying to plunge us into World War III, and so President Putin basically has not done anything to cause all of this. One more quick thing about this institute, and it says they're now finding they can actually biohack into dreams, Doug, and they can actually increase dream awareness and awareness by transcranial alternating current stimulation. And we already know about the voice-to-skull evidence and how they do that. And you can also read articles understanding mind control and how this cabal, these are the cultists, and they're basically satanic in nature. And so I could cover all of this, but there's no reason to. We've already covered enough of this stuff tonight. But anyhow, one more thing I want to say about this, and then we're going to move on to some health stuff. Agenda 21 of the Illuminati's Enduring Quest for Dominion and World Government. This is by Sarik. She goes, some even believe that we are part, this is a Rockefeller quote, some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political economic structure, a one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. David Rockefeller, Memoirs, page 405. So they admit to this stuff. All you have to do is read their stuff. They're so arrogant, they write about it all the time because this is, they want everybody to go in history as being the ones who did this. In 1990, Agenda 21, in 1992 at the Venezuela Conference, the United Nations passed something called Agenda 21, for which the elder U.S. President George Bush publicly gave his support. It referred to something called sustainable development. But what this plan laid out was very clearly a one-world government. The idea of a one-world rule is not new to the Bush clan or even to the modern-day Illuminati. It's been around since the times of the Roman Empire and before. Even the Christian Bible suggests that the Antichrist would attempt to install a one-world government, although that specific term is not used. There is an apolitic vision in the book of Revelations. But when John goes on to describe the ruler of the vast empire as having power and great authority given him by Satan himself, Revelation 13:2, being followed by receiving worship from all the world, Revelation 13:3-4, and wielding power every tribe, people, nation, and nation, Revelation 13:7. And it goes on to talk about how Babylon is a city built with a monument at the center to men's lower instincts and set up to God for their higher spirit, notoriously fell, but it made no mistake in the EU Parliament building in Strasbourg, it was modeled after Babylon. There are numerous historical references to what it would look like. And it goes on to say, quotes Paul McGuire, which I love, because Paul, I love Paul, he's a great guy. The UN is not asking permission, but issuing a demand, a command that the entire planet will commit to 17 sustainable development goals and 169 sustainable per development targets designed to radically transform our world by 2030. The UN 2030 plan promoted by the Pope will advance a Agenda 21 on steroids. Through a controlled media, the mass population will be told that it's all about saving the environment and ending poverty, but that is not true. Agenda 21. The true Agenda 21 is to establish a global government, global economic system, and global religion. When the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke of a dream of world peace and dignity for all, this is no different than the communist promise to keep the workers' paradise. And she goes on to say, how close are we to one world government? And she says, we're really, really, really close. And then she talks about all the failed attempts. You can read this author, too. You can read her article. But I just want to give you some insight on what was going on with that tonight. And then we've got a whole bunch of nutrition stuff I want to talk about, which is really important that we cover that tonight, because this is, you know, what I absolutely love to talk about, you know that. And we're going to cover a whole bunch of stuff about homeschooling families and what's going on with all of them. Anything you want to comment on this, Doug, as far as now that we're done with this part of this?
Folks, the lie is bigger than you can imagine. Ted, just keep going, or take us where you want to go. Nutrition right now is a good place.
Well, I mean, we can also talk. Well, I'm going to jump on one other thing real quick. Let's talk real quick about how Obama has escalated the Afghan war. I want to talk about that for just 1 second. There's only one reason we're escalating the Afghani war, okay? And you got to understand where we're coming from with this one. It has nothing to do with Afghanistan. It has to do with opium production and poppy seed production. The Taliban were getting back in there, and they were destroying the poppy fields. And so now there weren't enough troops to guard the poppy fields in Afghanistan, so they've had to escalate the Afghan war again to make sure they can maintain that $1 trillion flow to the shadow government through the Exchange Stability Fund, through the United States military, of bringing heroin into the United States. Now, again, read the book, the CIA, or Operation Gladio, the CIA, the Vatican, and the unholy alliance between the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. And you'll read all about this stuff. But this is what's going on with Afghanistan, and that's the reason that we're now going back into Afghanistan. And while they're saying that this war is going to be indefinite, 15 years of naked aggression in Afghanistan isn't enough. America's longest war is raging endlessly. Why? Because of the Afghan heroin. And Doug, if I'm wrong, tell me.
Crickets.
Crickets. All right, here we go. Let's go ahead and do some health stuff real quick, and then we'll cover some more of the world news. Beyonce and Justin Timberlake, again, Tavistock boys, are being paid millions now to endorse cancer-causing junk foods. Now that I've told you all of this stuff, you know, this is what they're doing. For instance, signing a $50 million to promote Pepsi products, or $6 million just to utter three words on behalf of McDonald's, I'm loving it. Beyonce managed the first deal, Justin Timberlake the second. In fact, a recent study published in the Journal of Pediatrics described lucrative endorsement deals of 65 music celebrities, most of them hawking some of the junkiest of junk foods and unhealthiest of sugary drinks. What are they doing? See, here's the thing about these groups. When these stars get to this giant prominence in this occult world, you know, that they get involved in, they have to be very, very careful with these guys, and they've got to keep them on a choke chain. And so when these guys start talking about stuff they're not supposed to talk about, they can't deal with it. They either have to be silenced, they have to be overdosed, their cars have to blow up, or something has to happen. You know, the Hollywood music industry is probably the best example, because it's so obvious. This Kabbalistic teaching shows them how to call up demons and perform rituals to feed the demonic entities through human sacrifice, and in turn, the demons, Lucifer, whoever you want to call them, allows the physical reality to change to accommodate the wishes of the person or persons doing the ritual. This is why so many of the Hollywood people wear the red Kabbalah string around their wrist. They have given themselves over to Lucifer and to the fallen angels. And so this is what we have to understand that's going on with all of this stuff, because unless you get this, that Sabbatean Levy, who was a Luciferian Satanist, who brought Jacob Frank into it, who brought the Rothschilds into it, who brought the Sigmund Freud guy into it, who brought in Edward Bernays into it, this whole agenda is Luciferian in nature. And if you try to separate the religion from this, and you try to look at it from just a psychological standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. And here's why. Because human beings are basically good, because we're created in God's image. You know, we're not psychopaths. But these guys are like psychopaths. And there, many of these families that are involved in this, Doug, they routinely abuse their children and their babies to shatter their personalities. And Russ Dizdar talks about this in his book, The Black Awakening. This is what they do routinely to their kids and to family members and the other members of these cults, to make them compliant and do their wishes. I mean, we see this in the show. They kind of gave us insight into this in the movie, in the movies, the Bourne Identity and the Bourne Supremacy. That was all part of the Tavistock program, which, remember, came out of the MKUltra program, which, remember, came out of the German concentration camps, which led to Operation Paperclip. That's how it all ties together. So this whole thing, yep, basically is this giant psychop that's been brought to us by Luciferians who worship Satan, who want us to be in a new world order under their dominion, under the boot of Lucifer, and that's the plan. So that's what they're doing, and that's why they're hiring these top people now to go in and do this promoting of these junk foods, which further enslave humanity. Now, here's an interesting study.
Ted, before you go on, just received an email from Pat from London, UK. All right, listening live.
Yeah.
Good morning, Pat. But anyway, he says, hello there, Hagmans. You do know that what Ted is talking about. They've already done this in the UK.
That's
don't
right.
I feel like a man on an island all by myself? Still, life is going to get a lot weirder, more weird. Remember, always look up, or on the brighter side of life, basically.
That's
happy
right.
days and big love too. Pat from London, UK. So thanks, Pat, for listening. And basically, yeah, it's coming to it. Well, it's here in America, but it's still beneath the surface somewhat. But nonetheless, it's here as well.
Yeah, but you know, this is why they're doing the transgender stuff. Okay, this is why they're doing the child ritual sacrifices and the bloodletting and all the stuff that they do. It's to control all of this from a psychic standpoint, they call it. You know, and the thing that nobody really understands is that all of this stuff, and you know, we understand tonight because I've covered all, but all of all of this bathroom stuff, they're just agendas to splinter the population. This all mind programming, because when the media starts to lose control of what they're being taught or what's being said, and Donald Trump starts to gain too much traction, they've got to come in with some, they have to release another Monica missile. That's why Obama decided suddenly to give transgenders the right to use every bathroom. I mean, are you kidding me? He can't do that. He didn't write an executive order to do that, but he did it. You know? I mean, it's the nuttiest thing I've ever seen, that this guy just says all this stuff. And of course, for 2 or 3 weeks, that's all we wanted to talk about was transgender bathrooms. And this is this training. This is the mindset. This is what they do to us on an ongoing basis. So it's kind of crazy. Here's another article. If you want to accelerate a child's brain development, teach them music. Alternative and complementary treatments such as creative art and prayer have been proposed to bridge many gaps in conventional medicine, but it cannot. But music, because of its ambiguity in our society as well as the ease of transmission, has perhaps the greatest potential among alternative theories to reach people deep and in profound ways. Music heals. And it says that music instruction appears to accelerate brain development in young children, particularly areas in the brain responsible for processing sound, language development, speech perception, and reading skills, according to initial reports of a 5-year study by USC neuroscientists. Let me tell you what I did with Harrison. When he was a little bitty kid, we had a set of Mozart blocks. I believe you can get them online still. And it played all of these different tunes from Mozart. And he could play with it in his crib. And I kid you not, Doug, we did this because I had read this stuff about the violins and the stuff they did in Japan. So we put these blocks in his crib, and so he started playing all of these different tunes. I mean, he was like, you know, 1 or 2 years old, and he's playing all of this Mozart, playing all this Mozart, playing all this Mozart, and, you know, developing all these patterns in his brain, and loved it. Well, one day, he's like 7 or 8 years old, and I hear somebody playing a piano in the other room because we had this little keyboard. And I'm like, what the heck's this all about? Because no one's ever taught Harrison how to play piano. I walk in there, he's playing piano. Taught himself how to play piano. He's an incredible pianist. I mean, he taught himself. You can watch him on YouTube if you want. Harrison Brower plays piano. Just Google it. You can do it on YouTube. And what was interesting about this is he suddenly, you know, passes all of his college entrance exams at 14 years of age, including the massive, you know, the advanced math. And he learned all his mathematics, basically, in music to start with. And now, just last night, he came to me. He's in this advanced algebra class at the university. He's got like 80 hours now, and he's a junior in high. He's a senior in high school starting in the fall. He's like, you know, he needs 120 hours to graduate with his bachelor's degree. He's already at 80 hours. And he told me, he said, Dad, he said, you know, he said, the algebra is just really, really easy to me. In fact, my algebra teacher, this college algebra teacher, asked me if I would sign up with pre-calculus with him. And he said that he wasn't going to take pre-calculus. And what was interesting about this is his mathematics skills, and I believe a lot of it was due to his music ability and teaching himself how to play the piano, Doug, are unbelievable. I mean, his math skills are better than my math skills were. And I really believe he could go all the way through college calculus and get straight A's on all of it, because he's just, everything's just really easy when it comes to formulas and that kind of stuff for him. But it started with those silly Mozart blocks in his crib. And if I ever had any more kids, which I won't at 60, my wife is too old to bear any more children. If I had any more kids or grandkids, now that I have a grandkid, I'm going to get my little Hunter, my little grandson, another set of those Mozart blocks, because the Mozart blocks.
Yeah, you know what, Ted? We had Michael Terrell on, the creator of WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTones Live, he accessed the, he's created music blocks. Or music projects, or songs, but you know, like Mozart-like, I want to say that to me they're symphonies, but it's from WholeTones Live, and he accesses different frequencies, the good frequencies, to either sedate, motivate, you know, depending on what you're attempting to do, and that's one of our sponsors, WholeTonesLive.com. But it's the same thing you talked about, and folks, you know, think back to what Ted Brower talked about. Last year about frequency, even this year about frequency. I'm a big believer, Ted, that music is really math, and math is music both. I mean, they're
oh yes, exactly.
You know,
they are.
So.
They are. I mean, plus it's the brain development. I mean, you guys, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing praises to God in symphony, okay? And we're going to be doing it for, I guess the Bible says, thousands of years, which is cool, because it's going to be over with really fast, and I don't think we have I don't think we're going to even have any recollection of what time is up there. You know, it's going to be, everything's going to be so different. I mean, because it's, you know, God is the eternal now. He basically is the Alpha and the Omega. And you know, and when we talk about all of this scientific stuff, I'm not doing New Age stuff. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in all of those things. I'm a fundamental Christian. I go to a Baptist church. I've been saved for, you know, 35 years now, and or 30 longer than that now, 37 years. And what's interesting about that is, you know, when I get accused of being a New Ager, I just laugh about it because it's simply not true. I'm a scientist. That I am. Okay, I'm a biochemist. I mean, I was trained at Florida State University, and I know a lot of stuff about all of these different things. But the reality is, you know, my whole life and my whole love of my life is Jesus Christ and my relationship with Yahweh, my relationship with Yeshua. And that's the most important thing to me that's ever going to be in my entire existence, because that's where we're going to spend eternity. And so when these guys who are so ignorant, they don't understand that they can't just start saying that people are New Age. I mean, it's nonsense. You could say that Paul McGuire's New Age, which he's not, or Coach Dave is, or you are. I mean, it's just words. You know, we have to look at people by the words and by their actions. You know, my walk talks a lot louder than my talk talks. And I've learned over the years that you have to maintain stability in all the areas of your life, including your walk with Christ. And I've seen some crazy things over the years, and I've talked about a lot of it on your show. And the thing about it is, it hasn't affected my walk with Jesus, because I didn't give my heart and my soul and my life to a man in a pulpit that's a man and he could sin and fall short of the glory of God, and I would lose hope or faith in God or in Yeshua or in Yahweh. I didn't do that, Doug. When I accepted Yeshua, I accepted him for who he was, the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, and I changed my life eternally through him. And so that's why my hope is not in man. We have hope in the cross. We have hope in the future. And we've talked about all of the physics around the cross and how all of these things work through scalar waves and how we're interdimensional beings. I've gone into detail on your show about that. That has nothing to do with the New Age. And I've had so many, literally hundreds of emails over the years when we talk about these types of topics that say that people's faith are strengthened, and that they were atheists or they were agnostic and they've accepted Jesus Christ because we've talked about the power of the cross and what God did for us on the cross. See, that's the most important thing. But what happens is they use fundamentalism, and this is another Tavistock programming, and I mentioned that earlier. They use the fundamentalism of Christianity, and they want to break us up into subsections and subgroups to control us and to make us fight with one another. And I'm not going to do that. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to walk in bitterness and anger with people who don't agree with me. I'll just pray that God shows them who's right, and if I'm right, it's good. And if they're right, that's good, and God shows me the error of my way. And see, that's the most important thing we have to do. We have to learn to walk in love, because love is a very specific frequency again. Hatred is another very specific frequency. They've learned that now with the Tavistock Institute. They've learned it all with these different frequency-generating weapons they have. Fear is another frequency, and they can broadcast these specific frequencies to you and make you have anger or fear or love or suicidal thoughts. They have the ability to do that from frequency. And see, because we're an energy wave on this planet, that's what we are. We're just an energy wave, and we're here with God in a holographic universe, and the only thing real here is our soul, and that's why we have to prepare our soul for the journey to be with God Almighty for all eternity through Jesus Christ, through Yeshua. And see, that's what people need to understand. I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible, any kind of New Age doctrine. I would never do that. What I'm trying to do is say, look, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He made the universe. If you don't think God's a physicist, okay, and a geneticist, that he put us all together, then you need to kind of read a little bit about that, because he is. He's the creator of the entire structure that we live in, which I believe that he controls, you know, through his dimension that he's in. Now we know that we're multidimensional hologram that we're in. And I believe that we can come to him in prayer, and I believe that that's what happened on Friday night when I took authority over Austin, and I started laying hands on him and praying for him, and we changed this movie that was being played, so to speak, to not to use the better vernacular, because I wasn't going to accept that. See, and that's what people don't understand. When you pray, you're putting out scalar waves that literally change the very fabric of time-space. And guys, that's why prayer is so powerful. It releases dunamis into the unseen realms. I mean, that's why these demons flee. I mean, everything has to leave you alone. You know, I mean, I've seen people before, they've had all these problems in their life, and finally they cry out to God and say, God, please help me. Yahweh, help me. Yeshua, please help me. I can't do this on my own. And suddenly, it just goes away. Whether it's an addiction to cigarettes or alcohol or to drugs or to pornography, they get delivered from it instantaneously. Because the power of the cross and the power of God is overwhelming to me of what Yahweh has done and what Yeshua has done and how they've brought us to this. And that's why these Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Luciferians that are running this show through Tavistock and through Freud and all those other sexually deviant weirdos, that's why they hate Christianity. That's why the entire emphasis that I talked about tonight is breaking up the nuclear family and killing and destroying Christianity. You know, Muslims can pray in the schools. They get their prayer rugs out and stop traffic in downtown New York if they want. They can do anything they want to do. But Doug, if our kids try to pray in school, they're escorted out. Last week they had a man who was doing a flag folding ceremony as a memorial, and he brought up God, talked about being in God's name, and they escorted the man out. I think you probably saw that on your news show. I mean, they took him out by armed guards. Why? Because he wasn't screaming about Muhammad. If the guy had been a Muslim yelling about Muhammad, they wouldn't have done anything to him. Because there's no power with, and Muslims, listen to me for a second. The power of the cross, you know, Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ ain't dead, okay? He sits at the right hand of God Almighty. He's in the same dimension as God. He's omnipresent. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He has authority over all of this. Muhammad is not. Buddha is not. This is Yahweh in Yeshua's realm. And they allow us to be in this hologram that we're in to basically control our very existence if we want through prayer. But guys, the evil one is also here, these Sabbateans, and we've got to expose these guys, and we've got to stand firm in the Word of God and the power of the cross, and we've got to pray, and we've got to read our Bibles on an ongoing basis, because then when the enemy comes at you like a flood, you're going to lift a standard against him to stop it, because you're under the Word of God, because you're going to have on the armor of God, and you're going to be able to withstand all of these attacks. And that's the whole key with all of this. You know, people say, well, how can you be so calm after this happened with Austin this week? And I said, because I know who my Redeemer is. I know who saved me. I mean, you know, so that's the whole key. I'm sorry, I'm kind of preaching a little bit, Doug.
You know what? I just want people really to keep praying for Austin.
That's right.
Ted's son. You know, please. And we had talked when this happened last week. You know what, Ted? And if I can digress just a few minutes before the top of the hour, Todd from Global Star Radio Network, he had a personal crisis with his wife. You had a very serious personal crisis with Austin, your son. By the way, folks, and I had mentioned this before, go back to the previous Monday's episode, I think it was Monday, that Austin did about the Orlando shooting, the math behind the numbers. Was that Monday, Ted? I don't have my notes in front of me.
Doug, it was, and I played that show today specifically because I wanted it to play tonight after your show, so people stay tuned after the show at 10 o'clock. They can hear the first 20 minutes where Austin goes over all of the numbers and why this thing was a specific false flag. And also, Doug, the gun that supposedly he's using now is not an AR-15. It's a SIG. And the craziest thing about that gun is it's got a gas chamber in it, and I've shot that gun. And, in fact, I was running down a tactical range with it, and down in Miami. I think I told you the story. And, we're clearing a house with it, we're using live ammo, right? And I had not used that gun before in a tactical exercise, and I shot four rapid-fire rounds, like boom, 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 like that, which an AR-15 was fine with, and that silly piston-drive SIG jammed on me. And because it's different layout than an AR-15, the range helper had to come over. Of course, he's a military guy, so first thing he starts doing is fussing at me because, you know, I didn't have the ability to clear my weapon quickly enough. And I looked at him and I laughed and I said, dude, I am paying you for this. And I said, I know you're ex-military and I know you like to yell at people. I said, but you can keep yelling at me if you like, or you can help me clear the weapon. That's what I told him. And he looked at me and started laughing and he cleared the weapon for me. But that SIG jams real bad when you rapid fire.
I've read the reviews on that very weapon and because of the way it's actually, this, just to make sure I'm talking about the same one here, I think it's the MPX or M, CX. I'm not sure of the initials, but is this not a collapsible stock and even considered a pistol?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. And what I did, I got a tax stamp for it, and I put a short barrel, I put a stock on it. And so now, now it's a short barrel rifle. Now, here's what it does do. It doesn't kick at all. I mean, you can hold that thing on your nose and shoot it, and you won't even feel it. I mean, it has zero recoil. And a .223 doesn't have much to start with, but that gas-activated piston gets rid of that recoil. So it's a great weapon. Now, Austin says if I ran about 1,000 rounds through it, it wouldn't jam up like that. But this guy had just gotten his weapon, and I guarantee you he didn't run 1,000 rounds through that gun before he bought it. And it was not an AR-15. It was not an AR-15. And so that's the gun they always want to demonize anyhow. So I believe,
By the way, that's a pretty pricey gun. Okay. When you get into that particular weapon, you're talking a base price of around 13 and change, $100, for that weapon. That's what I've seen. Now, I don't know. Maybe area's different, but. Anyway,
it's actually classified as a pistol. It comes with a pistol grip on it, and so it's very short. And so you actually could still carry it if you wanted to.
You could. I mean, it's like almost like an Uzi, an Israeli or a
very small.
Anyway, can I ask you here? We got about 4 minutes left at the top of the hour. Can I ask you? And I've been really wrestling with this, and I spoke to a couple of different people about this. Orlando, the shooter, Muslim, the venue, victimology, homosexuals in a homosexual nightclub. Okay, how, Ted, if this was a globalist / Luciferian / if this was an orchestrated event, let's just say for a moment, speculate it was, why wasn't the shooter in this case caught with, why wouldn't he be a Caucasian male from the South, caught with a Bible and a pocket constitution on him, as opposed to a Muslim.
Okay. You know what's interesting, Doug. Austin covered this on yesterday's show, and he said that basically there were multiple shooters in there, and the police breached the club within minutes, and they were inside the club, behind cover, and they were told by SWAT to leave the club, and then it went on for another 3 hours, and the shooter was in the bathroom. And that's what happened supposedly, but the entire story that we got from all of this doesn't make any sense. Now, here's the other interesting thing. I watched a lot of the live coverage, and I watched a lot of the reviews. And then, and guys, listen to me. If you've seen it, let me know. But I did not see one ambulance leave the scene. I did not see one helicopter come in. I did not see one paramedic running around the street. I did not see one stretcher pulling out somebody. I didn't see any of that. I saw a bunch of police cars parked down the street from a club with their lights turned on. That's all I saw. Now, the crazy thing about all of this, Doug, is why aren't they showing that? When Columbine happened back in the 90s, when the boy was running around through the hallways, they had video camera of him shooting, walking through the hallway with a gun. They had video cameras because that really happened. But nowadays, you don't know what happens because we're like a bunch of mushrooms putting a bunch of poop, being, told a bunch of lies, kept in the dark, and none of it's true. I mean, we don't know what the heck just happened in Orlando. We can't, now the 911 calls are quote edited. What the heck does that mean? What do they edit 911 calls? I mean, are they even legitimate 911 calls? Are they made up 911 calls? I mean, the whole thing is weird. I'm not saying that shooting didn't happen. I just said the whole thing stinks again. The entire story keeps changing again. And now, like you said, why wasn't it a right-wing Christian fundamentalist? I don't know, because when Pike did his book, back in the 1800s, the great Satanist and had one of the top Masonic
morals and dogma.
Right. One of the things that people have come back in from the letters that were written concerning that book was that there were going to be three world wars, and the final one was going to put the Muslims against the Jews and the Christians, and that's how they were going to bring in their new world order. So, I mean, if that's what they're trying to do is to make this Muslim thing bad, but the whole thing about it is like you said, it would seem like it made more sense, but there's got to be some other thing they're doing from a Tavistock mind program on this, Doug, as far as why they attacked the gays. Maybe the gays you know, they want to make sure they're really, really, really anti-gun now. Maybe that was it. Maybe they really want the gays to be galvanized for Hillary Clinton, who basically wants to take the guns away from us, to really move them towards the gun control. Maybe that was what it was. I don't know.
Well, I do believe that. I just the selection of actors. By actors, I mean perpetrators, yeah, and multiple perpetrators is what I was kind of getting at. You know, so there's so many questions, and I agree. A lot of this really smells, and you know, I don't know. But Ted, thanks for addressing that. And again, folks, listen tonight to the replay of Dr. Ted Brower's show with Austin, going over the very detailed, great analysis by Austin Brower. What a talented young man. And pray, keep him in your prayers.
We'll be right back with Dr. Ted Brower for hour number 3 on this Thursday edition. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.